Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth, earth itself, not hell. A lot of people tend to believe that the word of God here is saying that Jesus descended to hell. He descended from the throne to earth, because earth is the lower part from where he came. Because why? He says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth, which means earth itself? He stepped down from his throne as God and became a servant to man. Now he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It says, he also gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Okay, not all can be prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers, because not all are called for that purpose. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it tells us that not all are called for these kind of services to God. Right? Leadership roles. There's a brother in Christ who pointed out that there's too many seminars or books or church gatherings that are trying to train leaders or pointing the way to the leadership. But that's not the case, because not all are to be called into leadership roles, such as apostles and teachers and evangelists and prophets and pastors. It says some are called in those areas. When we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, what we are called to do makes up a team. Amen? Makes up a team. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, says, for as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. One body makes up many members, but it's still one body. Amen? If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleases. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. No. Much rather, those members of the body which seems to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all the workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer would be no, but earnestly desire the best gifts. What are the best gifts? That which God has appointed and prepared before salvation through the Holy Spirit. It is by His will. And yet I show you a more excellent way. If you're just content with what God has called you to do, this is the more excellent way. On another note, in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it also says, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that the miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And without all these in operation, the church is dead. In every church. And if you're lacking one or another, then pray, seeking that the Lord fulfills these offices. Because it is appointed by God in the church for all these to be in operation. And if they're not, the church is dead. If it's just lacking one or two of all of these, the church is dying, but not dead. And so the answer is no, not all can be apostles, and not all can be prophets, and not all can be evangelists, and not all can be teachers or pastors. Okay? It is according to the will of God that we're called to do something. Amen? Because that answers the question right here. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets. Jesus had called some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, not all, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Himself, who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart, who, being past feeling, has given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's go back. Verse 19. Says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Okay, they gave themselves over because that's what they desire. Okay, they desired sin, not God. Okay, and when we give ourselves over to sin, eventually God, if we continue in it, God will give us over to be bound by those sins. Amen? That's why He's given us His Holy Spirit, to live according to His Word. Right, giving us power to say no to sin, to lay it down instead of to pick it up, having the power to do so. Amen? Because Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension freed us from the bondage and slavery of sin. And all we have to do is take the shackles off completely, because he loosened them. All we have to do is take them off ourselves, because he's given us the power to do so, and to walk out of that door, that prison cell that's been opened, unlocked. We just have to walk out of that door and never to return again. That's why he gives us his Holy Spirit. But those who go back to their vomit or go back to the sinful old habits and ways, if we're not careful, we'll be bound by that, because first off, we bound ourselves by it, and then eventually God gives us over to our debased mind. That's exactly according to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Which says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." He's talking about believers. He's not just talking about the world. He's talking to believers and followers of Jesus Christ, warning them to not go by the old ways of the sin nature. Amen? "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now he's saying that all humanity are without excuse. Why? Because our conscience bears witness until we sear our own conscience, or quiet it down, to where it no longer convicts. Amen? It no longer corrects. And we can also grieve the Holy Spirit like that at the same time, where he no longer convicts, where he no longer corrects or disciplines. That's a scary place for a child of God to be in, when nothing no longer convicts you. Not because you're living right, because you're not. If you've gone back to your old ways, and that old man is resurrected, instead of putting that old man to death, going back to the sins that you were delivered from, it's a scary thing. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." All humanity is without excuse anyway. "But although they knew God..." Now he's revealing who he's talking about. He's talking about believers and followers who shrink back to the old ways and habits of sin. The sins that God had delivered us from, instead of progressing forward to the kingdom of heaven, we're digressing from the kingdom of heaven. "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." They knew God, yet they did not make him Lord of their lives. They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." Okay, and then worshiping nature, worshiping the flesh, as we read on. "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness." Here's the point. "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions." See, God gave them up to vile passions, "for even their own women exchange the natural use for what is against nature." Why? Because that's what they so desired. "Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind." See, again, God gave them over to a debased mind because they didn't honor God as he ought to be honored and feared. They didn't want the knowledge of God in them. So he gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whispers. This is all evidence of a debased mind. Unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, meaning they are slanderers. They are gossipers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. And it says right here, who, being past feeling, has given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Once you give yourself over to those sins of your past, and if you continue in that, God eventually will give you over to those evil desires, because that's exactly what you desire, a debased mind, to give you over to uncleanness and unrighteousness. If you desire God, if you seek the Lord, and if you want to get closer to Him, therefore, He will deliver you to Himself, to those righteous desires. If you desire to live holy before Him, He will teach you His ways. But if you desire sin and go astray from Him and not want Him close in your life, He will deliver you. He will give you over to those evil desires and passions and uncleanness and unrighteousness and unholiness. He will give you over to a debased mind. Because that's what you so desire. It goes both ways. But you have not so learned Christ. Why? Because Christ Jesus is holy. Amen? And He called us to holiness. That's what is known as sanctification. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do we do that? By reading His word daily, by going to church faithfully in prayer, getting to know God, having a relationship with God. That's what all that entails. Like reading His word faithfully, going to church faithfully, and speaking to Him. Amen? Hallelujah. And He will use you because you so desire that. Amen? If you desire and hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you desire, hunger, and thirst for Him, He will fulfill all your desires. Amen? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And how do we obtain that? It says right here, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Besides that, if you are bound to lying, and when you want to share Jesus Christ with somebody, if you feel led to preach the gospel, they will not believe you because they're discerning something wrong about you and they will not listen to you. And it's because of lying, small or great. Be angry. And do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Meaning forgive. Always forgive. I mean, you can be upset. You can be angry. But don't let that anger cause you to sin against God by slander or gossiping or backbiting one another or speaking profanity. Because we all know that when our flesh gets upset, our flesh's will wants to resurrect from the dead in that which we killed long ago. Okay? So profanity is part of that. Amen? Or getting back at someone. You know, revenge. No, you put that all that away. It says you can be angry, but do not allow that anger to cause you to sin against God. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, meaning forgive. And bring an end to any argument or disputes that you have with one another. Do not let the sun go down on it, because it will become worse when you wake up. Your thoughts will be worse than the day before. Nor give place to the devil. Do not give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. In fact, that's exactly what a Christian is. A Christian is a hard worker, not someone who takes advantage of one another. Amen. Who works with his own hands. The Apostle Paul did. He worked hard with his own hands to fund his ministry trips according to the will of God. He made tents. That's according to the book of Acts. He worked hard with his hands. He didn't take from anybody. But if someone wanted to give him finances, they gave it. Okay, with gladness. He didn't beg for it. He didn't ask for it. He didn't steal for it. Okay, because he mostly worked with his hands. That's a model for all of us Christians to learn. And that's part of the good fruits of being a Christian. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If we continue to do these things, if we continue after the old man, or if we didn't put on Christ, and if we're still doing the old sinful things, you will eventually grieve the Holy Spirit. And it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not continue in the flesh. But walk after the Spirit, amen? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, meaning with all severity, with all seriousness, as if your life depended on it, okay? Because all these things will grieve the Holy Spirit. Corrupt words, lying, stealing, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking will grieve the Holy Spirit. All sexual immoralities and sins of all different types and shadows will grieve the Holy Spirit. But put all of that away with malice, with severity, with seriousness, as if your life depended on it. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.